You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
80 years is a long time to maintain a status quo and guard a financial institution and the cash reserves of the nation from injudicious political interference. As is common knowledge, there has been pressure from the government on the RBI to accede to a range of demands, provoking RBI Deputy Governor Viral Acharya to issue a warning in October that the undermining of the central bank's independence could be catastrophic. On November 9th, according to multiple news sources, the government had said that it was discussing an appropriate size of capital reserves that the RBI must maintain, but denied that it was seeking a massive capital transfer. The point of contention was simply this: how much reserves should the RBI keep locked in its coffers? As NDTV said, and we quote, "The people sent to the RBI board by the government want the centre to have access to surplus reserves the RBI has built up, money that could be used for the administration's populist programmes, including boosts to rural wages, fuel subsidies, and buying crops at a guaranteed minimum price," unquote. Another point of contention was lending to non-banking financial companies and MSMEs because the bank wanted to be tough with the defaulters, while the government wanted the bank to lend more to these sectors in view of the difficulties they faced during demonetization and the implementation of the goods and services tax. But the long wait to see who will blink first, the RBI or the government, has ended. Because after a 9-hour board meeting on the 19th of November, the RBI agreed to set up a panel on sharing surplus reserves.
Editor's pick of the day. The RBI board meet.
This decision does not mean that the door is open for the state, but it is a crack in the door. And just like demonetization, it will have long-term ramifications. And it will forever change, even though subtly, the equation between the RBI and the state. For now, to use a newsroom cliche, the markets and investors are also closely watching the developments. On today's Money Control Podcast Editor's Pick of the Day, we will break down this meeting that may turn out to be momentous in retrospect. Let us begin with a quote from NDTV. "The meeting of the board of the Reserve Bank of India has ended after over 9 hours amid what analysts say an atmosphere of mistrust over perceived government interference in the central bank's functioning. The RBI agreed to set up a panel for sharing surplus and also to restructure loans of small businesses." Unquote. The opposition was quick to react, and Congress President Rahul Gandhi tweeted, and we quote, "Mr. Modi and his coterie of cronies continue to destroy every institution they can get their hands on. Today, through his puppets at the RBI board meet, he will attempt to destroy the RBI. I hope Mr. Patel and his team have a spine and show him his place." Unquote. Well, the government has maintained all along that it has really no intention to tamper with the RBI's functioning. But as the NDTV report says, and we quote, "The opposition has alleged that the NDA regime tends to plough into the precious reserves of the central bank in election season." Unquote. Any sign, says the report, that all's not well in the RBI could mean trouble for the markets. But of course, the first sign of trouble came in October, when reports alluded to the government's interest in Section 7 of the Reserve Bank of India Act, which empowers the centre to issue directions to the lender of last resort, meaning the government could take charge of policy. Last year, former RBI Governor D. Subbarao said Section 7 has never been used in more than 80 years of the central bank's history. Here goes the current set of events, just to clarify where we are now. Reuters reported that the Reserve Bank of India agreed on Monday to set up an expert panel to examine the economic capital framework of its workings in a move that could prompt a rethink of what constitutes adequate capital reserves for the central bank. The RBI issued a statement post the meeting, and we quote from it, "The Reserve Bank of India's central board met today in Mumbai and discussed the Basel Regulatory Capital Framework, a restructuring scheme for stressed MSMEs, bank health under prompt corrective action, PCA framework, and the Economic Capital Framework, or ECF, of RBI. The board decided to constitute an expert committee to examine the ECF, the membership in terms of reference of which will be jointly determined by the Government of India and the RBI. The board also advised that the RBI should consider a scheme for restructuring of stressed standard assets of MSME borrowers with aggregate credit facilities of up to 250 million rupees, subject to such conditions as are necessary for ensuring financial stability. The board, while deciding to retain the CRAR at 9%, agreed to extend the transition period for implementing the last tranche of 0.625% under the Capital Conservation Buffer, or CCB, by 1 year, that is up to March March 31st, 2020. With regard to banks under PCA, it was decided that the matter will be examined by the Board for Financial Supervision, or the BFS, of the RBI, unquote. So while loans of up to 25 crore rupees may end up being restructured, the RBI also announced that it would inject 8,000 crore rupees worth of liquidity into the system through open market operations on the 22nd of November. Subtle shifts in the economic climate. Even before the meeting could throw up a decisive set of conclusions, the rupee slipped by 9 paise to 72 rupees 2 paise against the US dollar in early trade on Monday, reported news agency Press Trust of India. A dealer at a foreign bank was quoted by NDTV as saying, "Foreign investors will wait to get some cues from today's meeting on the extent to which the central bank is autonomous, but it will be good for bond markets in the short term if the RBI gives in to the government's demand for more liquidity," unquote. A key protagonist. One of the strongest champions of the government's increased involvement with RBI affairs has been S. Gurumurthy. Swaminathan Gurumurthy is, interestingly, serving as a part-time director of RBI. He's also the editor of the Tamil political weekly that's called Tughlaq and is a chartered accountant and the co-convener of the Swadeshi Jagran Manch. One of his demands has been that the RBI board concede to easier lending and capital restrictions for banks and more cash for small businesses. This is a view also supported by top finance ministry officials, and is at the heart of the disagreement between the government and the central bank. As Business Standard put it, and we quote, "Locked in a power struggle over how much capital the central bank needs and how tough its lending rules should be, a trained accountant parachuted into the Reserve Bank of India's board by the government in August may be the key to whether a compromise can be found or whether the already public spat turns even uglier." Swaminathan Gurumurthy, a chartered accountant turned newspaper columnist, has set the tempo by chiding the monetary authority for being too tough in its efforts to rid banks of bad debts and arguing the case for lower reserves, a step that would give the government more cash ahead of an election year, unquote. The piece further tells us that Gurumurthy, who is associated with the economic wing of Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, was chosen by the government to push easier access to credit for micro and medium-sized enterprises, that's MSMEs for you, and lending to the sector has suffered after the RBI tightened norms for state-run banks saddled with bad debts. Gurumurthy and the government nominees Subhash Chandra Garg and Rajiv Kumar have been vocal about bank supervision, flow of credit to industry and easier financial conditions for India to overcome a crisis in its shadow banking sector. Business Standards cites Mohan Guruswamy, a former finance ministry official and chairman of the Centre for Policy Alternatives in New Delhi, who has known Gurumurthy for years, and we quote, "Having Gurumurthy on the RBI board has complicated the situation. He wants banks to give money to non-bank finance companies, which are already in a mess. He's an RBI director. It's not his grandfather's money," unquote. Well, that was personal, but it just goes to show that emotions run high and decorum leaves the room when a contentious argument involves huge sums of money. As various news sources have reported previously, the RBI would usually propose new board members, or the government would at least consult the governor before nominating members. This time, though, there has hardly been any consultation. To quote multiple news reports again, of 18 current members in the RBI board, 5 have come from the government bureaucracy, 2 are finance ministry officials, and 2 have close links to the BJP. 4 have a business background, and the other 5 are Urjit Patel and his 4 deputy governors. In August, S. Gurumurthy and Satish Marathe, a former banker who was in the student wing of the BJP, were named to the RBI board. And last month, the government appointed retired bureaucrat Revati Iyer and Sachin Chaturvedi, head of a Delhi-based think tank, while removing Nachiket Mor, who was close to RBI officials. What lies ahead? The Bloomberg.com reported on the 19th of November that India's rupee and bonds may come under pressure as the government's attempts to restrict the RBI's freedom will unnerve overseas investors. The next RBI board meeting, in the meanwhile, has been scheduled for the 14th of December. The economic climate continues to be wary. As the Bloomberg.com put it, Prime Minister Narendra Modi's administration is believed to be seeking closer supervision of the Reserve Bank of India by recommending the board draft regulations allowing the establishment of panels overseeing such functions as financial stability, monetary policy transmission, and management of reserves, unquote.
Editor's pick of the day. The RBI Board Meet.
The piece cites Anders Fargerman, a fund manager in London at Pinebridge Investments, and we quote, "Any moves by the government that would undermine the independence of the RBI would make us think twice about re-entering the Indian bond market. Strong institutions are critical for any country, and to attract foreign capital, the central bank will have to remain independent." Unquote. Though observers say the first meeting was amicable, whether it has opened the door for accelerated national growth or unprecedented financial uncertainty is yet to be fathomed.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.